invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 as we confess our sins this morning. 1 Corinthians 13, and we'll read verses 1 through 2 of that chapter. This is the Word of God. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. This is God's word. Well, our brother and former elder Bob Fine a few years ago led us through this chapter and blessed us with his teaching on 1 Corinthians 13. And I was greatly helped when he did that, and I'm sure many of you were as well. I have felt compelled to return to this chapter since it's so vital, it's so basic. It is amongst the ABCs, the phonics, and the addition and subtraction of the Christian life. It's the foundations of the Christian life. What are we doing here? What are we called to do towards God and towards one another? And you might ask, well, why do we go back to this so frequently? Or maybe we don't go back to it frequently enough. But why do we go back to the basics of love so much? You don't go back and redo your phonics book, I imagine, or your addition and subtraction book. You assume it. You work off of it. But this is different. Phonics and addition and subtraction, I think that those of you who are older are probably have down pretty well. But we don't have love down yet. We're still working on this. And so we come back to this basic thing, and we pray to God to enable us to love, to grow us in love. And so that's why we come back to it. Love is the summary of the whole law of God, the whole duty of man. We're called to glorify God. We glorify him by loving him, by loving others. This is what Jesus says. The law is summed up in love for God, love for neighbor. And certainly as we confess our sins, as we come to something like 1 Corinthians 13, it penetrates into us, as the Word of God does, that sword that divides in between us and divides bone and marrow and exposes who we are. It exposes our lack of love. And let's keep in mind that this chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, was written first and foremost to the church. We often read it in weddings, and that's great. It's a wonderful chapter to describe Christian love and marriage. But remember that Paul's purpose in giving us this list was that the people of God might know how to love one another. Because there in Corinth, they were not loving as they should. They were emphasizing their spiritual gifts and their spiritual prowess, as it were, and yet they were not loving one another. They had elevated spiritual gifts above the fruit of the Spirit, which first of all is love. That's the context of this chapter, and therefore it's exceedingly important for us, the church of God, to learn how to love one another. So notice, Paul says in these first verses, he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. He gives us the ultimate examples of spiritual gifts at their height. Speaking in the tongues of men and angels, prophesying, understanding all the mysteries of God, mastering every subject in the sacred scriptures, knowing all that you could know, moving mountains, but no love. What are you? Nothing. And he doesn't just say, your gifts are nothing. He says, you are nothing. I have become nothing if I have not love. And so he's saying that even if we did the very most amazing things in the Christian life, if we preached to tens of thousands of people and they were converted and we have not love, we are nothing. Though I evangelize with the greatest zeal but have not love, I am nothing. Though I give and give to those in need, though I pour myself out, as we'll see in the next verse next time, if I spend all my week serving the poor but have not love, I am nothing. He says that is possible to do. You can do those things without love. This is humbling for us. Yet our tendency is to exercise or to elevate the exercise of the spiritual gifts above the basics of love. These are the things that we can see, we can do. It's a little easier to go do something than to actually love one another. So the love, a fundamental fruit of the Spirit, is to be preferred above the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are great. We need them. As our brother said, we need all the gifts of the body exercising, but we must do it with love. And he gives us this illustration. He says that we become, without love, we become the sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And I've been learning about this through my children. This is where most of my illustrations come from now. And my wife and I took a bold move. We bought the kids' music set this last Christmas with the cymbals and the little wood thing and all the different pieces. And we knew it was risky. But you know what they do? They find the cymbals and they whack, whack, over and over again together. And children have an amazing ability to withstand that blunt force trauma of the sound that we can't endure. Just put a couple three-year-olds around an electronic keyboard. What do? They find the drum setting. They find the weird organ setting, and they hit over and over again. And I appreciate it. It's cute, of course. But for us, we are not usually edified by the music itself. We appreciate what they're doing, but we're not built up. It's not beautiful. In the same way, when a church is exercising gift after gift, initiative after initiative, accomplishing this and accomplishing that, and there's these numbers over here that we can point to, and yet if there's not love, it's not beautiful. There's no harmony. It doesn't edify. It doesn't build up. And that's why Paul in Colossians, he says, above all, brothers and sisters, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Which is, this is the exact opposite. Where there's no love, it's not harmonious. It's not beautiful. It does not build up. And so, brothers and sisters, this is what we become as a church when there's no love amongst us. Just loud cymbals banging together repeatedly, and it doesn't build up. Our lack of love is shown in many different ways. Anytime in the body of Christ we see conflict unresolved, brothers and sisters that are unwilling to take the step of love to resolve the conflict, our lack of love is made evident. Anytime we see gossip, suspicion about one another passed around the church, and we aren't willing to go and speak honestly with our brother or sister, openly, our lack of love is made evident. When we assume the worst of our fellow brothers' actions, rather than speaking to them about it, our lack of love is made evident. When we put our own interests first, when there is clearly a need in the body, and we will not give of ourselves to that brother or sister, our lack of love is made evident. So clearly, we as the people of God are much in need of God's grace. We are much in need of the Spirit of God to enable us to exercise this love, because love is indeed a fruit of the Spirit. And so I invite you, brothers and sisters, to confess your sins this morning, to confess your lack of love, and pray that the Lord may build us up to be a body that truly loves in perfect harmony together. 1 John 4:10-11 says, "In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do confess to you our lack of love. We are humbled by the reality that even when we do great things for your kingdom, that if we do it without love, we are nothing. This is humbling to us, Lord. We cry out for your mercy, that you would forgive us for our lack of love. We are much in need of your grace. We come confidently this morning knowing that Jesus Christ is our advocate with you, and he is righteous, and he is fully satisfied for our sins. We thank you, Father, for showing us such love. We ask that you would forgive us, you'd cleanse us, you'd make us new. We desire to be a loving church. We ask, O God, that you would pour this out upon us in your love. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.